Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome back to Episode 5 of USA Unsolved. Today, we will be examining a case outside of Washington State, all the way in New York. I initially heard of this case from another podcast, The Trail Went Cold, and I immediately decided to note this case down because it involved an unsolved crime committed against an Asian woman. If you are aware of any missing persons or unsolved cases of Asians in the United States, please make sure to reach out to me and let me know. The goal is to spread as much awareness as possible and hope that someday we can find answers to these cases. Today's case, though, is also somewhat older, and while it's been cold for decades, solving old and cold cases is not at all impossible. Let's begin. A couple from South Korea were married in 1981. Kim Soo-young and his wife, Suya. Like many others, they decided to immigrate to the United States and start a new life there. Of course, nothing is ever easy when you're just starting out, as you have to get used to a new culture, a new language, and in general, the act of starting something completely new. The Kims were very hardworking. While some would choose to work in restaurants, some in hotels, the Kims opted to work in flea markets. This consisted of a lot of manual labor, long hours, and generally giving up most of their free time. But either way, they made it their mission to get their lives set up here, and it was also important to be able to have enough for their future children. The couple eventually managed to make enough money to open up their own stores, one located in Long Island and the other in Bushwick, a neighborhood in Brooklyn, known for its diverse population and rich cultural heritage. It appeared that the Kims had their life going in the trajectory they'd hoped for. And in no time, their family expanded with the addition of two little boys. They eventually moved into a larger apartment located in Queens to accommodate their growing family. As an added detail, either Suya or her husband's mother had also immigrated to the United States, though I cannot be sure when this took place. Just important to note that at least one grandmother lived in New York as well. Sometime in the afternoon of June 29, 1991, Suya decided she needed to go run some errands and do some shopping. It was a Saturday, so her two sons were not at school, and her husband was at one of their stores working. It would have been a bit of a hassle taking two young boys with her if she wanted to get things done quickly, so she decided to drop her two boys off with their grandmother. So far, everything was as normal. But hours later, Suya did not return to pick up her kids. Time went by, and at around 8 p.m., Soo-young returned home after being at work all day. He found it extremely odd that no one was home, and according to him, his wife rarely, if ever, stayed out late without notice. He quickly found out that their two sons were with the grandmother, but they had no idea where Suya was at, except that she told them she was going out to run some errands. Soo-young then proceeded to call up their friends, or anyone that they know. Everyone told him the same line, "I don't know where she is." Soo-young then went about looking for her, thinking maybe she was just stopping at the store for a bit, but her car was found in the garage, and when he inspected it, the car was cold, meaning it had not been driven in at least the last couple of hours. So where was Suya? The police were called, and an investigation into Suya's disappearance quickly started. Although Soo-young and his family hoped that she was just out somewhere and forgot to tell him, the feeling that something was wrong could not be dismissed. Being gone for almost the entire day was not something Suya would do without informing somebody first. Her car was still in the garage. Did she take public transit? Did she get a ride from a friend? The following day, Soo-young would receive a phone call that answered some of his questions. The police asked him to please come down to the medical examiner's office, as they had a body that matched the description of his wife. Upon seeing the body, he knew without a doubt that it was his wife, the mother of his kids, the woman he had celebrated their 10th year anniversary just days prior. According to the police and medical report, Suya had been dumped in a dumpster in the neighborhood of Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, roughly 7 miles away from their apartment. She had been stabbed 9 times, and although she was found without her clothes on, she had not been raped. With a blatant murder case on their hands, the police immediately got to work, sectioning off where her body was found and questioned anyone in the vicinity, hoping to get some answers. They did get some answers, but of course, nothing that led them to the actual perpetrator. A security guard, who happened to be the man who discovered Suya's body and called the police, was questioned extensively. Here's his account of what happened. Joe Jones, a security guard whose job is to patrol an abandoned building and its perimeter, was doing exactly that when he came upon a man acting quite sketchy near the building dumpsters. The streets were pretty empty. It was around 3 a.m., so anyone in the vicinity would garner his interest. He approached the man and told him to leave and that he was not allowed to dump his own personal trash in those dumpsters. He could have been a homeless man looking for valuables, or he could have just been there to dump a wrapper from his pocket. But what this strange man did next was definitely slightly alarming, and definitely destroyed the homeless man theory. He took out a $20 bill and told Joe, the security guard, that he could have this if he was willing to look the other way. Kind of like a bribe, but also kind of harmless, right? For $20, let this man dump his trash there? Sure, Joe agreed. But when he got closer to the man to take the money, he noticed something that looked like bloodstains on his t-shirt. When the man caught him staring, he explained that he had gotten into a fight earlier. Sure, that could be true. So Joe didn't push it. After handing the money over, the man then walked off to a vehicle and quickly drove away. Joe was still a bit suspicious of the situation, so he got closer to the dumpster to see what the man was doing. What kind of trash was worth $20 to this man? To his shock, there was more blood on the ground, and it formed some sort of trail. He followed the bloodstains, and it ended at the dumpster. He flipped open the lid, and that was when he found Kim Suya, discarded in a dumpster, as if she wasn't a person, someone's wife, someone's mother, someone's daughter. At this point, an ambulance would not have been able to do much either, as Suya was not only pronounced dead, she had been dead for several hours. Joe Jones was only able to provide a partial license plate of the vehicle, but he did get a good look at the man and the car brand. It was a blue Nissan. This is not a lot to go on, but the police did what they could, using the partial plate number Joe remembered, the color of the car, and the brand. They went through their system, cross-checking all blue Nissans in New York, and eventually a potential vehicle was tracked down. It belonged to a Taiwanese exchange student living in Long Island. Thinking this could have been their lucky break, it turned out to be a dead end. The owner of the vehicle was a female student, and she told the police the last time she used her car was around 10 p.m. of June 29. She denied lending her vehicle to anyone else either, and upon further inspection, no traces of blood could be found in the car, and the engine proved to match her story. It had not been driven in the past hours. Did Joe Jones misremember details? Or perhaps Joe was not telling the truth? Of course, as a witness and the person who discovered the body, Joe was questioned extensively to rule him out as a suspect. He took a polygraph test and passed. We know that polygraph tests can be manipulated and it does not really mean much, but considering all the different witness accounts and information the police had gathered, they ultimately declared Joe was not involved in Suya's murder. This then brings the whole case back to square one. Who was this mysterious man? Did he know Suya? Or was this a crime of opportunity? Did he manage to kidnap Suya from her home, garage, or elsewhere? Was it sexually motivated? But Suya fought back, and in order to silence her, the man killed her before he could rape her. Considering the fact that her car was parked in the garage when she was missing, this bit really brings up more questions. Was the strange man a taxi driver? A delivery man? Did she know him personally? Some have even brought up the idea that perhaps Suya was seeing another man on the side. But even so, her murder is not justified, and he still needs to be found. As of today, there are no answers to this question. A composite sketch of the strange man was circulated in New York, but no substantial leads have ever come up. He is believed to be a Caucasian man around 5'6", or 168 centimeters, and approximately 130 to 140 pounds, or around 60 kilograms. Joe described the man as wearing a white tank top with a blue stripe down the middle and blue jogging shorts with a yellow sailboat emblem on the leg. Police believe that this perpetrator is local to the Brooklyn area, as he knew to dump the body by an abandoned building. If true, he didn't expect to run into Joe Jones, so he had to improvise. So where does that leave the rest of Suya's family? Su Young was never considered a suspect, despite the fact that spouses and partners are usually always considered one. I believe he was ruled out quickly, as he had been at his shop the whole day. And of course, he does not match Joe Jones' description of the man in the blue Nissan. For 2 years, the Kim family stayed in New York. The Kim family did build their life there, so it made sense to stay. And perhaps, Su Young was hoping to get an answer on Suya's murder. But after 2 years, staying in the city that took his wife away from him proved to be too painful. In 1993, Su Young shut down his businesses and took his two boys and returned to South Korea. Quote, "I could not stand being in the store anymore because everything there reminded me of my wife. Now there are no good memories for me here in America. Since it happened, I lost all my hopes and dreams. I have suffered so much. I'm still struggling hard to get over my wife's death for the sake of our children. I still truly love and miss her." Unquote. If you have any information on the murder of Kim Suya, please reach out to the authorities. I will be leaving the phone number in my show notes. Of course, I understand this is difficult, and not many of you were even alive back then in 1991. Considering how this cold case has much more information than others, I hope it travels and makes its way to as many people as possible. Kim Suya was a wife, a business owner, a mother, a daughter, and a friend. I'm sure we can relate to that. Thank you for your time, and please be safe out there. Till next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.